know that it doesn't matter what goes on past the stream, but it matters what goes on in the stream. In other words, don't live outside of this room for this moment. I want to stop and pause because too many of us attend church, but don't absorb or become church. And I pray that this morning you're not just attending church. I pray that this morning that you are not just in this room, you are part of this room. And I want to pray over you today that every single, now as Karen spoke on this morning, we're on a journey. Now this is not a new journey, this is an old journey. What we're rediscovering is just how important it is for us to ensure, be aware, and make absolute critical sense of what's going on in the spirit over our world before we engage with it. So welcome to me. I speak like a Gatling gun. I'm the worst person in the world to take notes to, but I'm the best person in the world to take notes to if you are a note taker. Science tells us that if you take notes and if you speak back to the person speaking, you will retain more. So I just want to encourage you, if you are a note taker, stop making excuses. That's what these are for. Grab your device, grab a pen and paper, old school you, because there's no school like the old school. And get ready to take some notes right now in the name of Jesus. We come against every power and principality, every dividing spirit, every controlling spirit. Right now in the name of Jesus, we declare over this atmosphere your spirit to be free. Father, we break and we bind every demonic force that has come against the individual and us as your church in this location. Come on, someone say amen. And God, over this place, Father, Lord, that we would see and experience and manifest your physical, tangible presence in our midst right here, right now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hebrews 4, verses 16. This morning I've prepared a message, but I have sidelined that message for a group of scriptures. I'm not sure why I'm doing that this morning. What I do know is that my message might be enjoyable, but I believe the word of God, when spoken clear and free, is better than anything that I can produce. So I'm just going to go off the word. Is that okay? Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help and to help in time of need. How many of us are not coming boldly into the presence of God? We are coming whimperingly. How many of us are not walking into the presence of God as his children, as his sons and daughters, merely groveling, hoping like a servant or a slave might do, hoping that God might throw us a breadcrumb of grace? That's a question to you. And I'm not talking to you personally. I'm talking to that spirit that lives over you that tries to tell you that you aren't worthy. I want to rectify that statement by saying this. Of course you're not. That's the trouble where the spirit gets the power to hold you under. Of course we are not worthy. He is worthy. And when we stand in our power, of course demonic influence gets an opportunity to hold you back. That's why you never walk in your power. You walk in his power. Come on, someone's got to say amen to that. I'm activating in this place not a spirit of ho-hum. I'm activating a spirit of agreement. Where one prays, something happens. Where two prays, there I am in the midst. I'm not looking for an agreement with your natural man. I am trying to invoke you to agree with me in your spirit man. Because if the two of us can agree in this room, then the devil must fall. Luke 10, 18 to 20. And he said, I look and I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Turning to his disciples, he said, behold, I give you authority to trample on scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy. Everybody say all. Everybody say all like you mean it. All right. How much power do we have over the enemy? How much? So how much are you allowing him to have rule over your life? Some. Too much. A little bit. So it's your choice to let the devil have his way in those small parts of your life when you know, or at least if you didn't, you do today, that Christ has given you all power. Now, I know your emotions are telling you otherwise. Now, I know your emotion, your experience, those things that have hounded and held you for your whole life. And when I say you, trust me, I'm looking in the mirror. They are the things that will try to convince you that you are great with God in this area and that area, but this other area, not so much. That is your emotion. Here's my revelation. Not really a revelation, it's an old revelation, but a reminder this morning as I drove in. Pain and pleasure is set out by God to tell your physical body what is comfortable, enjoyable, uncomfortable, and painful. Emotion is God's work and word to indicate to your spirit what is pleasurable and what is painful. Just as pain and pleasure, like a cut or ice cream or whatever, is pleasurable to your flesh, so the emotions that you feel, that not just anger, there's nothing wrong with emotion, but when it goes to the extremeness, right? And how many of you know that that is just next minute, what's going on in this world? There is control, there is emotional, there is a lack of emotional. Depression, why do we put up with that? I know we put a label on it, but why do we put up with it? Why are we just giving tons and tons of medication to so many people? Because that, what's going on in this, in that manifestation, that emotion, that loss of control, has nothing to do with your body. Has everything to do with your spirit and your soul. And just as the Bible says in Colossians that the fruits of the Spirit are, so therefore the opposite was probably true. Fear, depression, anger to the point where it's unrighteous, loss, rejection, abandonment. They would then be easily fruits of a demonic spirit. Can you see where we're going? But here's what I have to say. But the longer you put up with that pain, the lack of sensitivity you produce in your body towards that pain. In other words, see this finger? See it? You can't really see it very well, but the nub has been knocked off. It's their finger. I was looking at it going, actually, that's healed up pretty well. I'll be careful how I show you it. I'm going to turn it really fast just so that you can see the bend. And then that's all I'm going to, sorry to you guys on this side. All right. But see that bend there. Right, see that bend there. When I first happened, I'll tell you how it happened. It's a true story, funny story. Let me tell you what happened. Just simply, I'm a butcher. I'm a butcher by trade, and as a young butcher, I slipped with a knife, came across my hand, took out a number of fingers, and that happened to be the worst of them all. I lost. As it healed, it never healed right. For about 3 years, this finger was always in pain. Always in pain. You know what? You can see scar. You can see tissue. There's a healing. But I will never, ever, ever in my life from this point forward ever be able to straighten this thing again. But just because it doesn't have pain doesn't necessarily mean it's fixed. See, some of us have emotional scarring. Some of us have emotional damage. Some of us are walking in spiritual crippled. But just because it doesn't feel painful any longer, that doesn't mean you're operating at your maximum. Can you hear what I'm saying? But the only way to operate in your maximum in the Spirit is to boldly come before God, who gives all of his grace so gracefully, and say, Lord, I'm busted and I'm broken. Would you give your grace to me? And in that moment, unlike the natural where things like this happen, do you know that in the Spirit you can resurrect and be lifted from better than where you were even before you were born? Isn't that amazing? I need people to agree with me this morning, not because I need your affirmation, but because there's something we have to agree with in the Spirit that will break over. I'm not going to put up with hesitating. I'm not going to allow the Spirit to have hesitation in this room. I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to have freedom in this room. Amen. So I will offend your flesh. Yeah, well, let's just call it what it is. Is that all right? Don't take it for a lack of love, because I only sweat with people I love. I should not have played the drums, I'll tell you what, I shouldn't have done it. Ephesians 2 verses 6 and 7, he raised us from the dead along with Christ. Pause. He raised you. He raised you. He raised you up from death, from the grave. He raised you up from the grave. You were dead, but he raised you up. I know some of us smell like we're still in the grave. But I want to tell you something this morning. You have been raised to life in Jesus Christ. And I want to speak against the way you feel. Because the way you feel is the enemy having an opportunity to lie to you. Because just because you feel like you're busted and disgusted, it does not change the fact that you have been raised to life. The fact that there are many flat earthers theorists in this world does not change the fact that Isaiah says, just as the world is round. The fact that you've got tons and tons of theory because you've been listening to too many things on Facebook and not checking out whether or not those people actually know what they're talking about, but they sound so convincing, does not change the fact that the truth is still the truth. And the truth of this whole blab right in this moment is that you've been raised from life, from death to life. You've been raised up from the grave. Now I want to say something to you this morning. So why don't you behave like you've been raised up from death to life? Why do you choose to keep hanging around the graveside with a shovel, kind of going, oh, woe is me, woe is me? And you dig down and you hop yourself back in that thing. Now, you might be kind of saying, Pastor, I don't do that. I never do that. I don't do that. You're doing it right now. You're doing it right now. You're doing it right now because you've been raised from death to the life. And people that have been raised up from the dead never, ever desire to go back to death again. And I want to speak for just a moment just on those sins that the devil uses to bound you. You know, the word sin means to be God simply means God is not included. Think about that for a moment. God is not included. That's what sin is. You know that I could be doing just this very thing and sounding very nice. But if I have no desire for God to be included, I just need you to stroke my ego. I need you to tell me how nice denim jackets look in the middle of summer, even though I'm dressed like I should be in the middle of winter, you know. And God's not a part of this, then this even righteous act could be sin. That's why Jesus said, woe to you, brood of vipers. Look like whitewashed tombs on the inside. On the outside, inside, you're full of dead men's bones. I'm really sorry if I'm talking to those people who have zero understanding of the scriptures that I'm quoting for this moment. But I want to speak to your spirit because I'm not trying to talk to your intellect. This morning, I want to break you free. This morning, you need Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus like the way I know Jesus, then today I'm going to give you an opportunity to know him like I know him. See, he's a burden breaker. He is a demon defeater. He is a bringer of life. He is one who takes us from the darkness, moves us toward the light, and sends us into our glorious purpose and our assignment for him all the days of our lives. And if you don't know that Jesus, then you know a watered down Jesus. You know a Jesus that wants to, you know, just have you believe that it's okay to live your whole life chasing that dollar sign. Live your whole life chasing that tail. That's 70s talk for that woman. Do you dig? No. If you think that somehow your life, and you think you know Jesus, but you believe that Jesus is like, you know, you don't say, Lord, Father, God, really. What you mean is, dear Father, Christmas. I mean, doesn't that sound terrible? But how much of it is like that? We pray when we're in need. It's like a spiritual 111 call. So we reduce God Almighty to a fireman, a policeman, an authority figure that might come in and change our immediate situation. And when it's done, thank you, sir, I'll go ahead and do what I'm doing. I hope my goal this morning was to offend you. No, my goal this morning was simply to offend the spirit of flesh and carnality that may be existing. Because I'm going to get into a little bit of a sermon. Yeah, not really. I'm going to get into a thought that has provoked this. The last 2 weeks, I have been in prayer and wondering, God, why is it that the words of our songs, the words of our prayers, the reading of our Bible, the understanding, the intellectual understanding of what I'm saying and what I'm reading doesn't seem to be lining up with the church as I see her and know her from the Bible to the one I belong to, not you. I'm not talking you. I'm talking the church in the Western world. And this is what God said to me. Only the Western world, son. Because all over the globe, miracles are taking place. The devil is coming down. All over the world, the church is alive, and lives are being taken from nothing to something. But our church in Aotearoa, the church here in New Zealand, what's going not wrong? Why, God? Why? And this is what God spoke to me, and I really want to speak it not just to your natural man today, I'll speak it over your spirit. God said, beware of a spirit of slumber. Hear this. Beware of a spirit of slumber. This is a sleeping spirit. Comes in the form around Jezebel. Jezebelic spirit. Now, I'm sorry if you're in the room and you're trying to work out what the hey. Again, I'm not talking to your natural man. Speaking to the spirit. Now, if you are familiar in the book of 2 Kings, you will be familiar with Ahab and Jezebel. Now, for Jezebel to exist in the kingdom at that time, Ahab had to allow her because he was the natural authority and she became the spiritual authority. And church, there is a spiritual slumber on our nation today. Because the church who has been given the mandate of authority over the nation is allowing it to stay. It's allowing a sleeping spirit to get a hold of us. And when we are in a slumber, when we are in a sleep, guess what happens? Just as it was in the days of Jezebel, she knew that if she could outcast the prophets of God and install the prophets of Jezebel or Baal. What would happen is that she could set up an institution that looked very godly and religious, but behaved in a way that allowed the spirit of other things to become involved. I'm not saying that our church here or I'm not saying our church. I'm saying beware that this spirit is in existence over our nation, and we, the church, are the answer to rise up in our God-given duty to cast it down. And the way we've got to cast it down is to start here. Because because Jezebel overthrew the prophets of God and put in the prophets of Baal. Jezebel means to be authorized by Baal. Sorry, I need more tea. And so I'm going to pause just for a moment, because Isaiah 42 says, wake up, O nation of God, clothe yourself with beauty. Church, it's time for us to wake up. Time for us to wake up and be aware that the devil is trying his level best to keep us in a slumber. And why do I say the word slumber and sleep? Why has God been impressing those words upon me? Simple, really simple. Because if you want to take the biggest advantage over anything or anyone, put them to sleep. What's the most preferred form of date rape? Put them to sleep. Why? Because when they're out, you do whatever you like. And then when they start to rouse the consciousness, they can't remember nothing. But that's not us today, is it, church? Today, we are going to wake up. We're going to break a spirit of slumber. We're going to be aware that the devil is up to something in your world and in our world for the purpose of dulling us down and making us think that nothing's going on here. It's all okay. It's fine. It's just your emotions. Don't worry. Your family suffers from heart disease. It's okay. It's all right. There's a long run of mental illness in my family line. Well, wake up. Stop giving the excuse. Just the fingers, just the scar. Admit it. God, I don't like this thing. I should be stretching out way more than I can. And God, I just come to you with a spirit of grace. Open my eyes, God. I do not want to be caught under this spirit of depression. I don't want to be caught under this guise of godliness with no power. I'm not into this. God, I want you to show up in my world. I need you to show up in my world. God, I need you in this ministry. I need you to speak to our young people. I need you all over my world. God, without you, none of this is going to work. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe and set high, far above evil. Proverbs 18, chapter 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Stop running to the name of a professional. The name of the Lord. Not my name, not Steve Furtick's name, not your doctor's name, not nobody's name, not Hillsong's name. The name of the Lord. He is a strong tower, and the righteous run to him. I think my time's almost done. We're done. So we're going to open this up. Is that right? Get ready, God's about to shift your world.